Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Isn't that sweet that we can count on Jesus? I mean, I just love that song. He's speaking to us. I was thinking when he was saying, "You can count on me," I was thinking of all the times that he's rescued me. And I didn't even know that I needed rescuing. And, you know, I think of myself as a little kid who oftentimes needs Jesus to just lead and guide me, you know, and walk me through. Because it's easy to get distracted with the trials of the day or the cares of the day or whatever. And we have to intentionally, I know for myself, I have to be intentional about seeking first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, because it's everything is calling for our attention, and Jesus, our sweet Jesus, you know, he woos us, but not in the mean like you can count on me. It's gentle love, sometimes gentle correction, and sometimes a little stern correction. But he's my dad. I love him. You know, I cannot live without his truth and his life. And I used to live without his truth and his life. I lived a very rebellious life and thought I knew best and thought I had, you know, forged my way. And, you know, the deeper I got in the mud, you know, the harder I kicked until, you know, we all come to that one day where we go, "What gives?" You know, and then the Lord is, "Oh, I'm glad you're asking." You know, I've been trying to get you to look at me or look in my word. And you know, I'm just so thankful that he's so kind and loving and caring. And oftentimes he gets portrayed as a bad God or a God that, you know, is stern. But those are people that don't know him. You know, they've read about him and heard somebody talk about him. But when you truly encounter the love of God, and I pray right now that every person in this room or hearing this message truly encounters the love of God, because it'll unlock, it'll reposition. He has a way of finding the way into the secret place of our guarded hearts and breathing life and truth and love. And it's not difficult. He's not a difficult God. I'm very thankful that he laid it out in his word very simply. I don't need the complex stuff. I just need the simple, you know, do this, seek me. Oh, okay. And you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this other stuff will be added unto you. And here's the funny thing. All this other stuff you don't care about. When you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you know, there's something that happens where it becomes right order. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But as you work it out in him and through him and with, you know, with the word, something happens, and I can't give it an English word except for it's awesome, because he's awesome. You know, there's no need to fear or worry about what's going on in the world, because we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And there's a way to live and abide in his presence through the word and through relationship and through prayer where none of that stuff can get a hold of us. And see, that's the plan of the enemy, and the plan of the world is to try to keep us bound and tuned in to the latest, crazy, scariest thing that, you know, they can come up with next, because that sells, you know, the clicks sell. But, you know, Jesus, his book has been around a long, long time, and it is probably, well, I like to look at it as an owner's manual, and I used to hate owner's manuals, and I was always throw them away because they're too hard to understand. But And I was too busy to figure it out, you know. But God, if you just, it took me forever to figure out how to rest and seek him. You know, I used to seek him, I'm trying to seek you, but it comes from a place of rest. And as I was groping and trying to figure it out, the cool thing about God is if you truly have a desire to find him, you'll find him. You know, I love when I have a question about something that is so complex and I can't figure it out, and I say, "Lord, I don't know what to do about this, but I know you have a way." And then I leave it. I don't say, "What is your way? Show me your way. Give me your way. I need your way right now." I say, "Lord, I don't know what to do." And then it'll either come as a dream or something will come across the screen, And I'll be like, oh, thank you, Jesus, you did that. You know, I just love, I'm just going to say how simple the walk of the Spirit is. You know, I love people that are like deeply, you know, deeply spiritual. They can out-talk me in a second, and that's fine, but I'm probably already checked out and just hanging out with the Holy Spirit at that point. You know, I love that we don't have to prove anything to anyone. He's proved us in the fire. We get tried in the fire. He proves us. He tries us. And he brings us to the point of blah. And then when the blah, it's like something releases. It's the ugliness of ourself. And then he pulls the gold out and says, look, it, that's who you are. It's not all this stuff crusted up around you. And so, you know, I feel like we're in a time of grace. And I don't like to say this because I think people sometimes take it out of context, but I really feel like we're in a time of grace where there's an opportunity to get to know him in such a pleasant, simplistic, unritualistic way. And he's wooing us. I feel the woo. I feel his woo. And it's up to us to go like this or go, I'll get back to you. Let me finish that project. You know what? I got to make that call. You know, and I used to fall into that. I'll get back to you. Let me make that call. But something happens when you do that enough, the void gets bigger of the oneness in God. And I don't want the void. I want to be filled with him, not to be used, but because I love him so much and I want every part of him that he has for me. And I love intimate times with my Father. I just love his presence. And I feel like the season that we're in is there's an opening. It's like a crack. And the picture I see is like a cave, you know, like it's calling us into that place of unknownness. You know, it's a little dark and whoa, but it's a place where if you can say, I trust you, Jesus, I'm going to come in to where you're calling me and just let him minister to us and let just worship him in that quiet, deep, dark place. It doesn't have to be full of light. Sometimes I like it when it's dark. I like, you know, going away where no one's around. You know, I like meetings and I like conferences, but I love when it's just me and him. There's nothing better than that. You know, but I remember the day when I couldn't be just me and him. I was too, you know, jittery and too fleshy and too running 100 miles an hour. And I needed, it was like I was overloaded in stimulus and I needed that. You know, and, you know, the good thing is he'll meet you where you're at. And I see him trying to meet us where we're at tonight. And he's honing our it's like like the call, you know, like if everybody shut their eyes right now and you just focused on Jesus for a second, just like, can you feel him pulling on you or pulling you closer into his presence and his love? And that is growing. That's like a muscle and it's growing. And meanwhile, the mind and the flesh are going, wait, dishes, wait. You know, the phone call or whatever. No mind, I'm going to just choose to worship on Jesus right now. And then you just keep doing that, and eventually there's a tipping point that takes place. You can't figure it out in the natural, but a lot of people have experienced that tipping point of his presence where it's just, oh, you really, really, really are real. and when you're in a place of his presence, nothing matters. Nothing matters. Nothing matters. In fact, you're like, get. You know, like, it's like a, I'm not even thinking that way because I'm loving Jesus. I'm loving this time with him. And what happens is as you pour into him, he pours into you. And it's actually, it's a law in the kingdom. You know, you reap what you sow. And if you are sowing yourself into him, you're going to reap him. And the time that we're in, if you separate yourself from the outside influences and truly just recognize him in his presence, the noises of the day and the distractions and all that stuff, it'll start to just get quieter and quieter. but you have to center yourself in him. And I remember when I was practicing how to do this, you know, he actually taught me, well, when I was learning to hear his voice and speak what he was saying, I actually lived right next to a gun range where they were like shooting guns, and it was very hard to discipline my flesh and not get distracted by the loud booms going off. And I think he put me in a place, in that place, to hone that skill, to practice the disciplining of my flesh. And there were times when it would be, you know, easy to listen, and then there were times when I just would get pulled out by the whatever, the M-80s or whatever were flying in the air. And the rapid fire, it would be like rabbit, you know, like that kind of fire. And I'd be like, I would lose like the connection almost. But really, the connection is always there. I just came out of a place of rest and back into a place of flesh, and was actually, I was actually like angry that, why are they doing those guns? Don't they know I'm trying to listen to the Lord? You know, it was like a little temper tantrum. And even that little temper tantrum is an opportunity to discipline my little flesh. And so I had to, you know, learn to tell myself, quiet down mind, quiet down emotions, you're here with the Lord right now. And as I would do that, I would listen to what he was saying, and I would commune with him, and that grows. It doesn't just boom, well, maybe it does to some people, but for me, it was a learning process, kind of like a little kid when you first learn, you know, your language. You just don't come out speaking sentences. You're first learning how to scream and make weird sounds and trying to figure out what those are. You're communicating, but it's not developed. And it's the same with the walk of the Spirit and spending time in his presence. And here's the thing. What I love so much is when you think you got it, you hear his voice, there's always more. And that's so cool, because you never come to the end point of the fullness of God. I just think that's amazing. And we see people who think they've come to the end point of the fullness of God, and we bless them and, you know, pray, you know, open their eyes, Lord, you know. But and we all go through that. Didn't you go through that? Didn't you think you finally got it? You know, you heard the voice of God and you got it, or whatever. And, you know, what I love is pride is always trying to enter in. You know, and it's a blinding. Pride is very blinding. And so give grace to someone who thinks they got it. You know, don't judge them, because then you just connected. You just hooked in the Spirit, you know, a little judgment, which then now you have been used by the enemy. Oh, great one who doesn't think you're, who thinks you got it all together. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had to break my own word curses or thoughts when I've had a thought about, why don't you get it? You know, or, you know, I've had to break word curses. Oh, because I spoke judgment or came into agreement in a gossip. We had that happen at a conference 2 years ago. I think it was a couple years ago. Somebody, you know, was at the product table and they were causing a problem. And instead of sowing seeds of love, we were like, what the heck? You know? And you know, they became more frustrated because they couldn't get their way in something. And I'm like, you know, To me, it seemed very childish. And, you know, I walked away and I prayed, and the Lord said, don't come along in agreement with what's going on there. Sow kindness and love, because that's the enemy's trying to get into the meeting. Now, see how easy it is that the enemy tries to get in any place? Now, I know there's people in here who are, you know, you love the Lord with all your heart, but you're going through some attack, and it feels like you got a target on your back. Well, I want to tell you a couple things. Number one, you're God's chosen one, and the enemy hates God's chosen one, okay? Number two, Jesus gave you the authority to trample over the work of the enemy. And so don't let the enemy run your household. Take authority in love, in love, in love, in love. And if you can't do it in love, practice, pretend, and then it'll come forward. You know, I'm just telling you. You know, you say it because you know it, even though you don't feel it. And then eventually what happens is, it's just like faith. Eventually, boom, there it is, love. And so I know some of you are getting ready to go to the retreat, you know, yay, you know, we're all getting, some of us are getting saddled up to go out to Colorado, and you know, there's going to be a little trial along the way. But here's the thing. You are victorious in Christ. And no trial is too big that Jesus didn't die for. He gave us resurrection power to walk over the enemy schemes, to knock him down. Just don't even let him get a hold of your foot. Just keep pressing through in love and in kindness and in truth and declare the work of the Lord. Instead of coming to agreement, oh, I just got this bill. Thank you, Jesus, that all my bills are paid. Thank you, Jesus, that you provide every need all the time. And even if it doesn't look like it, because sometimes it doesn't look like it. Well, most of the time it doesn't look like it. But faith is activated through action. So when you speak, thank you, Jesus, for whatever it is, that is a seed of faith that's been released. And it's not up to you to look in the natural and go, is it growing? Is it growing? You just keep moving on in the love of Jesus and watch what happens. You can't outdo God. And God has already got the systems in place where it will just happen if you follow in love, in faith, and speak by the truth out loud. And so sometimes people are shy and they're like, I don't want to speak out loud. You can speak like this. Your neighbor can't hear you. Did you hear that? Yeah, oh, you got good hearing. Yeah, you know, so it's between you and the Lord. It's not between you and your neighbor or your spouse or your kids. If there's something going in your household, take authority. Take authority. Rule and reign. We've talked about this, and we've shared testimonies of this. Listen, if you've dedicated your house to the Lord Jesus Christ, your house is the Lord's Jesus Christ. If an enemy tries to get in, that's a violation. He has no authority to come, and you tell him to leave. And if it's a deal with a spouse or a kid, you don't have to, you know, put your finger in this. Just quietly, get out of here in the name of Jesus, you lying devil. And it has to leave. It'll listen. If you believe that you have the authority, it'll bow to the knee of Jesus. It will. And so I know there's situations in here, we wouldn't be talking about this, that there's chaos in some of your homes. And you want to know the key to get out of chaos? Worship Jesus. Chaos hates that. Chaos is a spirit. And so it doesn't mean just put worship music on. It means get your heart aligned with the love of Jesus and just start worshiping him. And those demons will be like, let's go next door. And then the next one, no, get out of here. You know. Did you have a question? Yeah.
And I just feel like there's a question in the room, and I know you answered it once for me. Say the spouse who also has authority in the house, or even a grown child, an adult, is doing something, and you maybe you feel like, oh, I don't think I can have authority over that because that demon is their friend. But in that house, you can keep telling it to go, and they can get back on their shoulder at work or something, right?
Yeah. I take it to the prayer closet. Because every situation's different, Kim. Yep. You know, the Holy Ghost has the key. And he knows. And so a lot of times, if there's strife in a family, you know, excuse me, I need a little sip of water. If there's strife in a family, that's a prayer assignment. That's not a one and done, get out in the name of Jesus, you foul devil. There's like inroads, and so a lot of times they're hidden. And so the best thing to do is sit quietly with the Lord, not when an incident has just happened. Like, do it when you're not, you know, like it's kind of like when you plan for a trip, you don't like just fly out the door and hope you got everything. You think about it and you go, okay. So same thing with the problem in the house. You think about it and you bring it to the Lord. Take a little notebook and just say, you know, I don't understand this. And if you don't get anything, just pray in tongues. Pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. When you're praying in tongues, it's like this. Ka-cha, ka-cha, ka-cha in the spirit. It is taking care of stuff that you don't even know. And that's why one of the reasons why praying in tongues is so important. And that's another reason why people are like, I don't want to pray in tongues. Well, did the enemy whisper that in your ear, or did the word of God whisper that in your ear? And so, you know, tongues is not of the devil, and tongues is a powerful tool, and don't leave home without it. And so, we're in a transition in well, we're in transition. That's bigger than I care to discuss tonight. But transition is good. Transition brings forth the stuff that's tried in the fire. It brings forth your true character after you go through. You know, when you're in transition, oftentimes it's uncomfortable, right? But in that uncomfortable time, that's when stuff gets worked out with you and the Holy Spirit. That's when stuff gets worked out with you and the Father. That's when stuff gets worked out with Jesus. You know, when I say transition, I'm thinking like, well, I can name a million. But when you're getting delivered of character traits or, you know, false identities, that's called transition. And so, you know, when you're used to acting or hiding or behaving a certain way, which may or may not be of the Lord, and usually it's not because we have to be transformed in his image, and that's a process. When you're in that transformation process, it's uncomfortable and it's ugly. Let's just be real. It's that way so we can see, oh, I do need to change. Oh, I'm not, that's not what the word says about me. It could just be a false belief system. And a lot of times that stuff comes in from early on, and then, you know, we just stick with the label and think we're normal, or that's the way it's done in my house. And really, it does not line up with the Word of God at all. There's no plumb line with truth. And so when you're manifesting, yes, manifesting, it's opportunity afterwards, because you probably won't do it while you're doing this, to say, Lord, what's my problem? Why did I just say that? And or act that way. And I can't tell you how many times I have said this to the Lord. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say it's probably over 10,000 times, okay, where I have been so weird and I'm like, what is my problem? You know, I used to be a runner, and so I laugh. I say, runner in aisle five. You know, really, because I've been there. When things got tough or I didn't know how to handle my emotions, I'd run. I'd just leave. I'm out of here. This is too much. And then I'd be leaving, and I'm like, wait a minute, why am I leaving? And where am I going? You know? But when you're in that state of, it's almost like survival.
It's fight.
And it's but what's happening is the Holy Ghost inside of you is going, come on, you can do it. And your emotions and your past are going, heck no, I'm not doing it. And so you're like, beeline in it, out of there. And I'll just tell on myself 100 times if you want, but just one for right now. I remember one night we were in a prayer meeting in Elgin at the office. And I'll remember, I'm shy back then, okay? And I remember the Lord was like, I want you to go lay hands on so-and-so. Well, I'll just tell you, it was Holly. And I'm like, no way. And he wanted me to pray for it. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. And I'm like, the blood of Jesus. Now that is like pulling me out of my comfort zone right there. I'm not doing it. I know I'm not doing it. And I'm like, Lord, that's not you. And give me a scripture. And he gives me Romans 8:8, I think. And so I look it up and I'm like, oh, it is him. You know, and I'm like, you know, so I shut the book and I'm like, Lord, I can't do it. Meanwhile, anxiety, stress, and everything is flashing in front of my face. And I'm like, I'm out of here. So I get in my car. I leave the prayer meeting early because it was just too much, okay? And I'm driving. I lived in Wisconsin back then. I'm beelining it down Route 14. I'll never forget this. I'm on 14 and 59. And the Lord says to me, well, he said, where are you going? And I'm like, I'm going home. I don't want no part of that. And he goes, have you read the book of Jonah? And at this time, I didn't even know Jonah was a book, okay, to be honest. And I'm like, no, I haven't read the book of Jonah. And I'm still driving, you know, trying not to catch myself. And so I pull over, and I'm like, I Google it, because I had a phone back then. And I'm like, and I start reading the book of Jonah, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm Jonah. And I don't know if I turned around and went back. I probably didn't, okay? But I remember driving home feeling so condemned. Now, God doesn't condemn. He's trying to encourage me to look at the issues in my life that are preventing me from walking in his fullness. So I'm still driving home, and now I have a choice to go, la, 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 I don't want to hear this. But I'm like, Lord, why do I do that? What am I afraid of? As I'm driving as fast as I can, you know? And I'm like, and it had to do, well, I could tell you, it had to do with a lot of things. Shyness, you know, I like to stay hidden and not, you know, noticed, and all that other stuff. And, you know, it just was too weird. And so now I lay hands on everybody, obviously, you know, but I wouldn't have if I didn't get that exposed that there's an issue. I asked and then did what he told me to do, which was very hard, because that's where you have to learn to trust. And I had a hard time trusting a God I couldn't see. You can hear him, can't see him. How does that work? So for days, I beat myself up. For weeks, I tried not to pay attention in the prayer meetings. You know, Casey would have me do it again, you know. But I was like, I'm so sorry, Lord. I'm such a slug. I'm a slug. I'm a slug. And so, but I'll tell you what, there came a time when we were in the prayer meeting, and I see in the Spirit this spot. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I see this spot. I think it was on your neck. Was it on your neck? Or?
So the story is...
Hold on. Holly's miking up. Holly's miking up. Woohoo!
It's the spot that no one knew about but me, because it wasn't visible in the natural.
Yeah.
But right here, for some years, was a lump that wasn't right. It was like a, I don't know if it was a cyst or what, but it was under the skin and no one knew about it, but it bugged me. And she's standing across the room. If you've ever seen her do this, it's a little weird. She's looking at me. And I'm like, whatever, you know. And she finally walks across, touches it, and that spot, gone. That lump, gone, never has been back.
Yeah, backstory. I see that, and I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. You know, in my mind, I'm fighting with the Lord, but I'm like, I don't want to have to drive home again halfway through a prayer meeting and beat myself up all the way home. And so I'm like, Lord, help me. Help me. I don't know how what I prayed, but and I can't help it. When I get that thing, I don't even know I'm doing that thing. You know, people are like, oh, you're creeping me out. I don't even know I'm, like, doing that. But it's the Holy Ghost in me, and he's doing something. And see, part of being a yielded vessel is, hey, he may make you stand on one foot and you will look stupid in the natural, but if it could heal somebody's other foot. I don't know how he does things, but I know now. I'm coming to him as a kid. I'm tired of being an adult who thinks they know everything and you know, hedge to protection. Lord, I'm a mess. What are we doing today? You know, I used to say it all the time. Lord, what are we working on today? Yeah, I still say it. What are we doing today? What, you know, and then I have a choice to do it or not do it. It's that simple. And if we're not doing it, tomorrow comes. Lord, what are we doing today? And he doesn't get mad and he doesn't say, I told you that yesterday. You know, I love that about him. He's like, because he knows we're like little skittish kittens that, you know, or dogs or whatever that can't, you know, fend for ourselves. We are dependent and reliant on the life source of God. And isn't that the way it's supposed to be? And so, you know, that's just one or one a few times of when I ran. You know, some of you guys know I was called to serve Edgar and Holly Bailey Ministries. And you know, that was a very stretching thing for me because I was very quiet and shy, but it was the Lord that had called me. And so I had to be obedient to the Lord. And in fact, the funny thing is when he called me, it took me a while to say, okay, I'm supposed to help you guys because, you know, Lord, help me. You know, I want to run away. But when I finally did it, they said, we don't need help. And I'm like, wahoo, I'm off the hook. You know, I did it, Lord, I'm out of here. But really, it was just an alignment of the timing of stuff. And what ended up happening was, You know, so now I'm helping them doing their physical stuff at their house because Holly was working full time and, you know, Edgar was there and he was getting older and there was stuff that needed to get done. And so the Lord had, you know, gave me the anointing to do that. I didn't do it because I wanted to. I did it because he was doing it through me. And that's the much better way. But there were, in that whole process, there was working out in my flesh my issues. You know, I was able to see what a healthy marriage looked like. I was around healthy people, you know, because I didn't grow up that way. And but there were the times when I'd be like, I got to get out of here. I got to go. And I would leave, and I'd just make it to the garage, and then I would, like, clean off a workbench or clean a cabinet or something. And I'd be working it out with the Lord because I didn't want to leave. You know, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. You know that struggle? Help me, Jesus. And that was where my heart was. And because my heart was like that, I blew it 100 times, 1,000 times, 5,000 times. But my heart was right, and Jesus was always there to bring me back into his flock and to help me. He washed my little mud up when I blew it or said something stupid. How many times have I said something so stupid, I can't believe it came out of my mouth? Where did that come from? Well, it came from my past, which is the dead man. You know, I reckon him dead. And when he tries to resurrect himself, dead man down. You know, the blood of Jesus over that dead man. You know, rise up the good, but leave the junk in the ground. And so, you know, this didn't happen overnight. But what happened is God, it's the walk of the Spirit. And in my life, God was bringing forth a treasure that he put in me. I didn't pick any of this. I just said, yes, Lord, eventually. But it takes a while. And so many times, you guys have heard this. When I was in I was having a test done at a hospital, and there was a girl named Megan who had cancer. She was a young kid, high schooler. And the Lord said to me, I'm sitting there waiting for the test results, and the Lord said to me, tell her I love her. And I'm like, they're going to think I'm stupid. They're going to think I'm crazy. So I didn't do it. Then I felt so bad because I didn't do it. And I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry I blew it. If there's another opportunity, Lord, I'll make it straight, please. Well, I end up seeing her in the dressing room. And I'm like, I couldn't do it. I'm like, oh, you know. I'm driving to a Bible study after that, and I get behind, there's a car in front of me, and it said Megan on the license plate. I had to follow that car all the way, and I'm like, I know. You know, but I'm so thankful for those times of trial and practice, because it's all practice. Every day is practice in God, and we can't do it without him. And so I have learned, you know, whatever our gifting is, it's to worship the King of Kings. And if he tells us to go tell somebody he loves them, you know, he'll give us another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity. He really does. He never runs out of opportunities. And meanwhile, I'm like, I can't do it. Then I wait, then I do it, and then I feel stupid, you know. But he's working out. It's not up to us to look at it in the natural and go, how did that sound? Or how did they receive that? It's like, Lord, I just did what you told me, and I'm moving on to the next person. Right. It's not up to me to see if they're healed or delivered. I just deliver what he says and move on. And I do think when something happens, when he tells me to release a word, or if he calls forth a healing or releases healing, and I don't see it manifest, first of all, if it doesn't manifest right away, I don't care, because I know if he called it out, he's doing it. It's done. And you know, I've prayed for people, and I have not seen their healing come forth, yet other times I have. And I've made a decision. I don't care. I'm just going to release what he says to release. And it's up to between them. You know, maybe they have unbelief. I don't know. Maybe I missed it. I don't know. But I try to stay in what he's saying and only say what he's saying and not add to it. And now I'm trying not to take from it. You know, like when he says deliver, I deliver the goods. But did it happen like that all the time? No. I told you that. I ran like a scared little girl with my big protected arm. Nothing, no one's going to get me. But God, He sees through all the veil of self-protection, because he sees who he made you, and you're made in his image, and he loves you. And that's really all he's after. He's after the openness of love. He's trying to uncap the false and the hurts and the hits of capping of the love. And once that cap comes off, dude, you undone. You're undone. You'll never go back to that old broken life. They'll throw a bone to you, but you'll be like, I ain't biting on that no more. I got set free. And when you're set free, you'll never go back to the bondage again because you know how free you are. And so I know I'm kind of a little bit over it, but there's people in here who are working out the stuff, you know, the soulish stuff in their hearts, that, and you're frustrated because you're believing for victory, but guess what? The victory's here. It's here. You are already victorious. It's just a mind shift into a spirit of life, and when it happens, boom. And I don't know when it's going to happen for you, but it will, because if you keep coming, those that keep coming eventually walk in the victory and the fullness of God. They do. It's faint not. Faint not. Did that help anybody in here tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to take another drink of water. Thank you, Jesus. So, if you're in this room right now and you're feeling like I blew it, you know, I always blow it. I don't know what the problem, the problem's not me, you know, or whatever. If you're in that, if you are thinking that way, that is the thoughts of the flesh designed by the enemy to little fiery darts to block the blessings of God that are already released. And so I want everybody to close your eyes just for a couple seconds because I want to help some people get free in here tonight. So we're going to do just like a couple like open prayers, you know, like proclamations or however the Lord brings it forth. And so first of all, thank you, Jesus. So I want you guys to repeat, thank you, Jesus, that you have redeemed me from the curse. I'm just a little kid in your kingdom. I'm giving you permission to correct me, to adjust things in me, and help me overcome the issues of my flesh. I thank you that I hear you clearly, that I read your word daily, and that I have understanding of your word because you give it to me. And right now, I bind any spirit of discouragement or condemnation, hopelessness, or any other darts of the enemy. And I pour the blood of Jesus over them. And I render it null and void. No assignment. Weapon formed against me will prosper. I got to get this from the Holy Ghost. Hold on. No works of darkness can prevail against what the Lord has done in my life and given me salvation, freedom, wholeness, and hope. I will choose today to believe God and his promises, and I thank him for everything he did for me. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.